Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Yay, we're artists.
We're going to be artists today. No stitch hour tonight because that was last week, and we'll be back with a stitch hour next week. And our stitch hour guest next week will be Krista West, who will also be our guest this Sunday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's always fun to talk to. You always learn stuff. And it's been a long time since we did a Sunday podcast with Krista.
Yes.
And, yeah, so she's got a bunch of new things going on. She's testing out some new – she didn't give any details, but we'll get them out of her – some new design work with her folk embroidery.
Oh.
And she's also changing her ecclesiastical business.
I did see that. I get her newsletter.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting because, you know, at one time that was her main deal.
Right.
And now it's apparently cross-stitch, so good for her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's good at it, and she cranks them out. Yeah, so she's got a book coming up in the fall and all kinds of things happening. So.
Wow.
We're going
to
talk
to
her
about it.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be good. It's so much fun with her because it's a different kind of cross stitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's from the Greek area, the Greece area, and the history behind it. And it's just so different from what anyone else does that it's mm-hmm. fun. It's just fun. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, I was, you know, that history thing, I was thinking this morning. I was doing the sewing machine, redoing the antique Singer sewing machine, and life just got in the way, and it just sat for months.
Yeah.
And here a few days ago, I had a couple of hours, and I'm going to go down there and tinker with that. And I got my teeth into it, and I finished the machine. I'd cleaned everything. Everything was laying there, covered up, cleaned and ready to be reassembled and adjusted and everything. And I got that machine running.
Awesome.
You know, and it runs beautifully. I couldn't believe it. I did that. It was so cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I fired it up, and it took a couple of adjustments to get it going. But, I fired it up a third or fourth time and hit the button to stitch, and by golly, she sewed beautifully. So, but anyway, it reminded me how much fun it is to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so that one I'm working on the cabinet for now, because it's going to go in the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a motorized one. And I'll play with it for a little while, but then I'm going to find somebody who can use, you know, a quilter or somebody who doesn't have a machine and would like to have one
mm-hmm.
that'll last forever. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just going to give it to them.
Nice.
You know, just take it and use it, you know. And so then I have another one. I have a cabinet, a treadle machine cabinet.
Uh-huh.
And a treadle machine. And so that's the next one. And that one I'm keeping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one I'm stripping everything down to the metal and repainting it and putting new decals on and new clear coat and just everything. I'm going to put it back to as new as I can possibly get it.
Wow.
Which is not going to be 100%, but I can get close.
Yeah.
Because those are just such cool machines.
Uh-huh.
So that's the next one. You know, I'm into it now. So it's going to be the stitching happens upstairs and the sewing machines happen downstairs. So in the evenings, I'll be one place or the other. But all of that to say that, you know, when I was going to school, I mean, science was my thing. And I hated history. Like, I'd do anything to avoid history. And when I was in college, I was very fortunate that we didn't have to take any of that stuff. We had to take a couple English courses, and I think I took a socials,
right.
I don't know, some lame thing, you know.
Right.
And then all we had to do was science.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, good for me. I'm into it. Let's go.
Yep.
But then, you know, I was thinking this morning as all that leading up to this, how much I've come to appreciate history because it comes to me from a different perspective through the sewing machines, because the history behind those and, you know, and the difference they made for so many people, and then samplers and the history behind those, and talking to Kathy Andrews here a couple of weeks ago about the history of the motifs as opposed to the girls.
Right. And don't forget about the history of fabric.
Right. Yeah.
There's been a couple of, or maybe three really good books about fabric published in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with you. I didn't like history when I was in school either, but I think it was because it was, you know, you had to memorize dates and,
yeah,
you know, it was about conflict and you didn't get the stories. I love science history.
Yeah.
I love to read about these people. You learn that they're just ordinary people. Some of them are real books.
Yep.
But you learn about, you know, the things that they went through, you know, how many, maybe not all of the things that didn't work out, but, you know, how things didn't work out, however many times before they finally figured out, you know, whatever it was they were trying to figure out, and what it's like to be the first person ever to see this thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, or to figure this thing out. I agree with you 100%. I think it's the stories that we don't get in regular classes.
Right.
Because they're trying to feed us the data.
Yeah. Yeah. Just cram it in us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what I hated about history is, you know, what year did this happen? I don't care. I really just frankly don't care. And I'm not going to memorize it, you know, uh-huh. I'll remember it for the test, but that's all I care about.
Right.
But yeah, but you, no, you're exactly right, because Marga and I watch Jeopardy every day.
Mm-hmm.
And when there are science questions that have to do with the history of the scientists or things that they did, you know, I immediately think, why didn't we get some of that in college? It would have put so much more fun in chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like there's that movie that was out a few years ago about the Curies and and their research. It was fascinating.
Yes.
Like you said, what they went through and the moment they have success and, you know, and Oppenheimer here. Now, I haven't seen that movie, but that was Oscar award winning, $18 million awards. And, you know, there's history there too, of, but it's about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And not now I got to see the movie, but, it's kind of upside down.
So we're really getting way off topic here, but one of the podcasts I listen to that I really, really like is Lost Women of Science.
Oh.
And they are
writing it down. Lost Women of Science. Okay.
Lost Women of Science. And you'll want to start at the very beginning.
Okay.
They talk about all kinds of women scientists, and one of their series. So they do some short ones, but they also do like a season on a particular person. And one of them was a woman who worked with Oppenheimer.
Oh.
And so there's like maybe three or four episodes about her. This is one of the criticisms I've seen about Oppenheimer, is that there's only one woman mentioned, but there were a whole lot more women that were involved in that whole scientific effort, and more than scientific, I guess.
Yeah.
Just like the women who were so involved in getting into space.
Right. Yeah. You know, that movie was fantastic.
Computer. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we get that stuff, man?
Yeah.
And of course, then, you know, the African Americans could tell you, you know, about the thousands of black people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, who made a difference in our lives and never get talked about. You know, it's
right.
It's just so upside down. It's so frustrating.
Lost Women of Science has not left them out.
Yeah.
They did. I know one series on a black woman who was an engineer, I think.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, check it out. It's a really good.
Okay. Really put that on the list. Yeah. It's just, you know, and that's what I enjoy so much. An aspect of needlework that I enjoy so much is the history. Mm-hmm. Because when we talk about gold work and, you know, the Royal School doing their whole collection, I can't wait. I can't wait to see that.
I know, me too.
You know, because that's all the history, but that's meaningful. You know, I don't have to remember in 1822, Joe Blow, you know, right. attacked the Huns because he was mad. I don't care, you know. And see, that tells you what I know. It wasn't Joe Blow. See, I don't even know. So,
right. And who cares now?
Right, right. But yeah, here's some needlework that people created by candlelight or sitting out in the sun because it's the only light they had. And,
right.
And look what they did with it. And,
right.
And we're intimidated by it. So, you know, what is this? Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it just kind of hit me. We miss out on so much because to me, it's just taught the wrong way. It just presented the wrong way. And I know we have to know all the history of the wars and stuff. I mean, if we don't learn that and remember it, we're going to repeat it. And you know,
we are anyway. So
yeah, probably. But we
haven't
have to
learned our lesson.
No, that's a fact. But we have to learn that. But you know, can we find a balance?
Yeah, I have 5 minutes to tell a story about a person, you know, or about the discovery or whatever. You know, it wouldn't take all that long. One of the books that I read was about the discovery of penicillin. I think it's called The Mold in Dr. Florey's Pocket or something like that. And it's you know, the story of the discovery of penicillin is that the researcher was kind of lazy and didn't cover up all of his petri dishes and left them for, I don't know, a weekend or a week or something like that while he was gone. And when he came back, one of them, and he was growing strep, I think, had a clear zone around a mold colony, which happened to be penicillium. And then it kind of goes on from there about what happened. And they were starting to kind of study it in more detail before, I think, World War II. And they were worried about their research being destroyed. So somebody put, and this is where the pocket comes in. They carried it to the U.S. in a lab coat pocket or something like that. I don't, you know, obviously I don't remember all the details. I read it quite a long time ago, but it was really interesting about how, you know, it was just a big fluke and it kind of languished for a while before somebody else picked it up and said, hey, maybe this would be a good thing for us to, take advantage of. And that's how we got antibiotics.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, was it World War II or World War One? I think it was World War Two.
I don't know. I learned it for the test and forgot it. I don't
know. Well, I bet you didn't learn when penicillin was available.
No.
No.
Did I? I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't.
Oh, I didn't. I don't know. Yeah, I just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, it's just upside down. Yeah, I kicked my, yeah, I think about back in eighth grade, one of the big, and we're going to get to needlework in a minute, but one of the big things in eighth grade, it was Michigan history, because that's where I grew up, Michigan history. Sure. And one of the guy who taught it was just one of those old cranks, you know, who was just trying to get to retirement, you know, just do the work and leave me alone kind of guy. And one of the things you had to do is you had to memorize all the counties in Michigan. And the test was, you know, here's a map with all the county outlines on it. Fill them in.
Oh, like that's really critical to know. Oh,
what a complete waste of time. For what? That's why we have maps, you know?
Right.
But and this was the big deal. You know, that was it. So the whole year was focused on, could you pass that test? I don't care.
And how much history is there in Michigan?
Oh, truckloads.
Yeah.
Truckloads.
Automotive industry.
Oh, shipping.
Shipping. Yeah.
Lumber. Building the bridge, the Mackinac Bridge. Truckloads of it. Yeah. Uh-huh. But no, we had a focus on naming the counties. You know? And talking to Mercedes last Sunday's show.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't record all the conversation we had about Michigan.
Uh-huh.
You know, before we recorded. Because you know, it was all these memories.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that she brought back for me. And I think Sandy P. Posted on YouTube that she grew up in Michigan. And so her art brought back memories. And and it was like, oh, man, all that stuff. And we were focused on, can you memorize the counties?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. But, oh, yeah, Edmund Fitzgerald. I mean, all the shipping.
Right.
All the shipwrecks and all the, I mean, that whole Great Lakes, St. Lawrence Passage. Oh, man, that changed the economy in a big way. And, yeah, no, we didn't. No, we didn't focus on that. We had to learn the counties. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Marga and I comment every now and then. We couldn't teach today.
And then indigenous, all the indigenous history in the area.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, endless. Yep.
Okay.
And today I can't name the counties. I didn't get them all right, by the way. I missed a couple. You know, whatever. Get me to biology class. I don't care.
I'll learn genus and species names all day long.
Yep, that's right. Sign me up. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, okay. So anyway, yeah, I've just come here now in the twilight of my life, as they say, to really appreciate history, but from a completely different angle. And needlework is right at the center of it. And so, yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, I really like Kathy's approach too, looking at the symbolism. I don't care about the girls. Yeah. You know, okay, that's interesting for the first, you know, two or three, but
right.
And I appreciate the work that these designers go to find the histories that they can create of the girls. But at the end of the day, they don't really have very much about the girls for the most part.
No.
You know, they know their names and they know when they died and maybe when they got married and how many kids they had. But, you know, it's women's history. There isn't a lot of information there when it gets right down to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just it. Most after you read a half dozen, pretty much the stories all start to say the same thing. But then when Kathy's talking about, this motif and why it keeps showing up and what it means and where it comes from. All right, talk to me. Let's go.
Yeah, and I think Isabella Rosner maybe is looking at things kind of from that point of view too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know she studied the Quaker samplers.
Right.
I'm interested to hear more from her.
Yeah, well, we're going to do a show with her coming up. But a lot of her PhD, a lot of her research, and I assume her PhD research was all focused on that.
Yeah.
And that's what's so fun about talking with Barbara Hudson at Queenstown Sampler Designs.
Yeah.
Is she learns all that stuff too. You know, how the families, you know, how these things passed through the families, got into the country, that kind of thing. And she looks into that much more interesting to me than this little girl grew up an orphan and.
Right.
You know, got married and had two kids and her husband died. And yeah. Okay.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Christian Nguyen is another one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is really looking deeply into the histories.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's cool. You know, and
not of just, I mean, she does look at the women, but also of the, I think some of the symbolism and the motifs that are mm-hmm. used repeatedly in various types of embroideries.
Yeah, and she can tell you all kinds of things about threads.
Oh yeah.
And how they were created and where they're created and what, you know, how they were made and why they're not made now and
construction of the caskets.
Yes. Yes. See all that stuff. That's so cool. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's part of the history, but you just don't learn about it until you get into a hobby like needlework and then, oh, wow, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I was talking to Ilke Cochran. We're trying to, I got to get back to her, but she, what is the gold thread manufacturing company in England? I forget their name, but she went and toured them. And so
Bennett?
Yeah. Say it again.
Bennett and something.
Yeah.
Right?
That sounds right. Yeah. So anyway, we're having an exchange and then I got busy. So I got to get back to her about doing a show to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I, you know, other than India or China, I think they're the last ones.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, you know, there's history there. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. that's, I got to believe hundreds of years of making gold threads.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't do it, then we're down to cheap stuff, you know?
Right, right.
So, yeah, I got to get back to her about doing a show about that because that's fascinating.
Yes.
You know, and you know that if you went into their factory, and that's what I want to learn from Ilke, is you know it's ancient machinery, you know, just.
Oh, yeah.
Ancient stuff that if a part breaks, they have to actually make it, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know it.
And their maintenance men are probably ancient too.
Yep. You bet they are. Yep. Yeah. They're the kind
they're
of guys.
They're the ones that know how to make those, know how to service the machines and get them running again and make the parts that need to be made.
Yep. Yeah. They walk by a machine and just hearing it, they go, oh, that bearing's going again. I got to get that fixed. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Those guys. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Them.
The true masters. Yeah. Yeah.
True craftsmen.
Yep. Yep. We miss out. So anyway, yes, history. Got to look at it more from a different perspective.
Yes.
Do check out, if people didn't do it last Wednesday, we had so much fun with that. We got to do more of this. Our Wednesday show where Cindy and Beth and I picked out each five of our favorite Nashville market designs.
Was fun.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So go check that out. So there's an hour and 15 minutes, 15 designs we thought were really good. So, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking after that, what next year we got to do a little more of that some way or another. Got to figure it out. So.
Yeah, I see there's a needlepoint market coming up, I think in the next week or so. And I went and looked at the list of their exhibitors. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at all of them because I recognize a lot of them as painted canvas designers. But I looked at some that I wasn't familiar with, and every last one of them is painted canvas.
Interesting.
I don't think they had any counted canvas designers there. Now, I admit I didn't look at every single exhibitor, but boy, if there's any counted canvas, they're few and far between.
Yeah.
Debbie wasn't listed. Neither was Curdy Biggs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about
Nancy's Needles.
All about the painted canvas, yeah.
It is all about the painted canvas.
See, and we were having that exchange with Beth here the other day about the Fibonacci swirls. I got to get my threads. I'm going to have to get going on that because you guys are already cooking along here. But it struck me, and I think I commented, that the people posting pictures and – yeah, because people will say, oh, you can't be creative. You can be creative with painted canvas, but you can't with counted canvas because you just have to follow the formula. Where with painted canvas, you can be creative. And then, you know, give me a stitch guide for the painted canvas. Well, you're just following the formula. So,
right.
You know, I'm not so sure I get that. But it's just this belief that you can't be creative. And then if you look at all the pictures that people are posting of what they're doing with Fibonacci swirls, holy smokes, you can be creative six times over.
Well, and even for those people that use the colors that were published in the magazine, they finished them differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so there's creativity beyond doing what the pattern says to do.
Yep. Yep.
using the threads and everything.
For people who don't know, Fibonacci Swirl's current project of the Cyber Pointers ANG online chapter. Join.
March program.
Yep, join.
March meeting program, which ends today.
Yes.
But if you're interested in Fibonacci Swirls, if you're a member of ANG, it is in, I forget which magazine, and I don't have it handy here. But the magazines are archived on the website, and members can go and look at them. And I know we've talked in past podcasts about which issue the pattern is in. I just don't have it handy.
I just grabbed my chart. Let's see if it's in the footer.
Yeah, it should be.
In the folio. It's
2018 or 2016, I forget.
22, March, April 2022.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, March, April 2022. Yep. It's cool. So anyway, well, the three of us are doing it. I will be as soon as I get my threads. It's just been an example of how people with different colors. I mean, we'll look what Robin did. You know,
right.
what people are doing and how the swirl that's in there, depending on how they do it, that either comes out or is there and not real prominent or hides in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fascinating what people are doing with this design. Just by making a few changes that make it their own. And
I know people struggle with changing colors, and that's difficult. I admit it, but the simple way to do it is to find an over dyed thread that you like and then pull the colors out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so you can find, in this case, you'd want, you know, two or three over dyed threads that have related colors. They don't have to be the same colors. And in fact, one of the pictures that was posted was done in each section was done in totally different colors. I think that red and orange and blue and I forget what the colors were, but they were all real different, and it was stunning, absolutely stunning.
Yep. It's so much fun. Yeah, it's cool, and you can just play, you know. And it's not a big chart.
Oh, so and it's stitching up pretty quickly.
Yeah, you guys are racing through it. Yeah.
Yeah, I put mine down for a little bit, but I'll pick it back up here and again in a couple of days.
Yeah, no, it's.
I'm still working on the January program, too. But Beth had got hers done. That was Earth Spiral, and she posted it on the show and share for the meeting.
Hmm. Okay, I didn't see that. I'll look it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and behind all this, join Cyber Pointers. It's it's. Well, I've been a member of 3 months, 2 months. I don't know. But I have to say, even though the meeting is going on, you know, I've poked in and read a few things, but it works out pretty well. So yeah, it's a good thing. Plus, you guys always have something going on. I'll tell you, what's the next one? What's the next project? Oops.
Oh, never mind. I don't know.
Never mind.
I can tell you here real quickly. What do we have coming up? The next meeting program will be a stash sampler. And this is in May by Melita Glavin. I don't know if that's how she pronounces her last name, but again, this is one that, you know, you can really do a lot of, you know, changing the colors on and playing
play
with it.
You can play
with stuff that's in your stash.
Yep. Yep.
We have a workshop with Gail Stafford called Landscape Features. A lot of people are really, really like Gail Stafford's work. And that is coming up Oh, no, the registration is already closed on that one. I'm sorry.
Never mind.
The next one, the next workshop that will come up is Mr. Sparkles by Don Donnelly. And the registration on that will open on April 15th.
Okay.
This is a fun little snowman.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the snowman one, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. That's right. Okay. I was afraid to say it for fear I'd be, I wouldn't have it right, but yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's a cute one. And we're going to do something new on Zoom where Lori Kelly is going to do a lecture about the art and science of appraising needlework.
Mm, there we go.
And this will be on April 6th. Registration is open now and we are limited to 100 participants.
Okay.
Because that's the Zoom level that we have.
Oh, man. This day of technology, we have limits still, you know.
Well, you have to pay for it. Right. You know, no, if you want more, you have to pay more.
yeah, I know. No, I don't blame you. Yep, there's a limit. Yeah. So anyway, and join Cyber Pointers. You know, you have to join ANG first, American Needlepoint Guild. You have to join that first and then join Cyber Pointers. But for me, it's working out great so far because I don't have the obligation of a meeting once a month, and you can just pop in any time and keep up to date. And you guys do a heck of a job with the system there. So it's good. Yep.
And we have right around 600 members right now.
Wow. That's a chapter. It's just a chapter. Yeah.
That is just a chapter. Yeah.
There's got to be a couple of regular ones that are bigger, I would think.
I don't know.
You got to be one of the biggest ones. Wow.
Might be the biggest. 600 people is a lot for a face-to-face chapter. I'd be surprised if there's a chapter that big.
Yeah, most of them are, you know, a handful of people that are keeping it going. Yeah. So cool. Yep. Yeah. Join it, people. Join it. Join it. Yeah. And you know, Needlepoint, I was so fascinated. Mercedes Boyer's Rogue Needlepoint, mm-hmm. who was our guest last Sunday. You know, because you talk about painted canvas.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, you know, the expense of a painted canvas is, you know, can be brutal.
Right.
And then threads and then finishing. And if you buy a stitch guide, then that's, you know, one more thing. And then you look at that and then you look at county canvas, which other than a chart for $30 or something and some threads is not that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But then, all right, the painted canvas gives you a picture, if you will, or a piece of art or something that you stitch. And then we look at Mercedes Boyer, who she's found a middle ground.
Yeah.
Where she takes a photo and then she just does outlines the elements in the photo. And she mm-hmm. doesn't even try to be precise, just gets close.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes ahead and picks out some stitches and some threads and creates that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting hybrid. I really enjoyed that.
I did too. I liked looking at the pictures you posted and hearing her talk about her process.
Yeah, and you hear people all the time, you know, how do I get a photo converted so I can stitch it? My dog or my cat or, you know, my house or whatever. And that's exactly what she's doing.
Right.
Without having to chart it or anything. She just rusts it in and does some stitching. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
You know, that may be more art than most stitchers are willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's any number of programs that will convert a photo to cross stitch. And I don't know if there's anything that will do needlepoint, but you can certainly do needlepoint from a cross stitch chart.
Right, right.
And if you're going to do a picture of a cat or a dog, you know, maybe you want that level of detail. And I don't know. I don't think I have that much art in me to do what she does.
Yeah.
If I'm going to design something, it's going to be geometric.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See, I enjoy the geometric.
Yeah, I do too.
I just, you know, the symmetry, I just like it. So
yeah,
that's why it hits me. But if you look at her work, the stitching is not that difficult. It's not going to come out right, but it's not that difficult. It's not like she's overwhelming it with fancy stitches. Oh, no. She's just interpreting with thread what she sees.
Mm-hmm.
And
the difference between her and most of the other people that have been guests that do this kind of thing is that she's doing it on needlepoint canvas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's the first one you've talked to that is using needlepoint canvas.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So I thought that was great.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. Yeah. No. And just when I contacted her, what made me want to talk to her was her scenes from Michigan. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So you know, I want to talk to her. I want to see. And yeah. And I didn't expect, well, I mean, it, obviously you could tell that there was some true talent there and she had a creative sure. way to do it. But I wasn't mm-hmm. sure what was going to come out of the conversation. And mm-hmm. then when I did the research and then talked to her, it's like, holy smokes, mm-hmm. she has found a different path.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, all on needle. Yeah, you're right. On needlepoint canvas. Yep. It's,
And yeah. the other thing I thought was really interesting is that she sells her works. And mm-hmm. and I mean, I know some other people that aren't really necessarily deeply attached to their needlework, you know, and they give them away. And I do give away a little bit of mine, but most of them I don't want to give away. Well, there's two reasons for that. One is that most of my friends these days are stitchers themselves. So, you know, they've got their own stuff.
Yeah.
And the other people that I might give things to don't necessarily appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm careful about who I give things to, even in ornaments, you know, even an ornament takes a certain amount of time and effort to stitch and to finish. And you just kind of hate to give it to somebody that doesn't understand that level of effort.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's why I don't do gifts. No, mm-hmm. I had done a couple and no, just, yeah. you know, you could just tell
them. And on the other hand, she's showing her work in art shows.
Right. Juried art shows. Yes.
Juried art shows yeah. as fiber art.
Right. Yeah. That was the other part of that conversation is she is showing needlework, fiber art, right along with painting and sculpture and drawing, illustration. Mm-hmm. It's another art form, which is the way it should be.
Right.
Because it is.
Right.
And yeah, she's found her way into that world mm-hmm. with her work. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it was just one of those interviews that became much, much more than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pumped up when we got done. I was just really pumped up about it, you know, and because she's just found a way and found a way all because she wanted to quit smoking, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very and cool.
Keep your hands busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I guess that is one of the things. I mean, I never smoked, but
no, I didn't either.
I guess that is one of the hardest things for smokers is what do you do with your hands? Because that whole routine of getting uh-huh. the cigarette out and lighting it and
yep.
back and forth. And then when that's not happening, they have trouble. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. She was just really great. Really great.
Yep.
It was good. Yeah. So, yep. So check that out too. Have you been to, now let's see, I've been to the EGA annual seminar.
Uh-huh.
Cause Beth and I did that, when it was in Chicago. And that was great yeah. fun. We haven't been back, pandemic, you know, routine. Yeah. Have you been to, ANG ones?
I've been to two EGA and two ANG national seminars, but it's been quite a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
But they're fun. I mean, you know, you're with a couple hundred or more people that do the same thing that you do. And it's great to talk to people and see whatever other people are doing. And yeah, it's just a fun time.
Yeah.
I am planning to go to the ANG seminar in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, Kansas City.
Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this fall, right?
This fall.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm already registered.
All right. All right. Yeah, I'm debating. I hope there's a hotel room. I should probably decide because that'll be the next thing, no hotel room. But
right.
Yeah, because that's just 2 hours down the road for me.
You could make a reservation for the hotel room now and cancel it if you decided not to go.
Yeah, that's true. But I could. All right, I need to make a decision. But I know Beth and I had a great time at the EGA seminar in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we were working to do shows and stuff, but it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, even if you don't take classes, you know, because as well, okay, I got to pay for that, and then I got to pay for classes. It gets kind of pricey.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to take classes if you don't want to. There's an awful lot of activity going on.
Right.
And a lot of just sitting in lobby stitching, too.
Right. Right. And the exhibit is always fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Both guilds do that for their annual seminars. They'll have a big exhibit. There's usually a needlework store.
Yep.
You know, so you can buy more stuff.
Always a way to spend money. Always.
often there's a bookstore. I don't know if there's, it's been a while since I've been to an ANG seminar, so I don't know if they're still doing that. And then there's a merchandise night and there's a teacher night. So you can see what teachers are, you know, what new things the teachers are coming up with. So there is, yeah, a lot of other stuff to do. And there's a, there's always, well, I think always, but certainly at the Kansas City seminar, there'll be a studio time. Where, you know, you can go and sit and stitch if you're having issues with doing a stitch or picking a stitch or, you know, working on a project, there should be somebody there to help.
Yeah. See, you know, if you did nothing but go there and have lunch and dinner with friends and did that kind of thing, that would be a fun weekend.
Yep.
Yeah. Just bring a big old tote bag full of stuff and just show up and stitch. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And then I know there's at least one needlework store, needlepoint store, painted canvas mostly in Kansas City. I don't know if there's more needlework stores there. It's been a while since I've been to Kansas City. But,
yeah.
You know, needlepoint painted canvas stores have lots of thread. So even if you don't do painted canvas, you can add to your thread stash.
That's right. Yep. And I've not explored it, but I understand that Kansas City itself is a place to spend a weekend is pretty nice city. So
yes, it is. Again, it's been a long time since I've been there. I think one of the seminars I went to was in Kansas City. I think that was EGA. Yeah, there's other stuff to do there.
Yeah. Yeah. And EGA's is in Atlanta in August.
I think that's right. Right. ANG is the first week of September plus a couple of days in August. I don't know what the dates are for EGA seminar.
Yeah, I forget, but it seems like it was in August. In which August in Atlanta? Oof.
Yeah.
Stay inside. Bring your stitching. Right. Stay inside. Yeah. Right. But you know that that's another one. You know, when the one that I went to, boy, you get no trouble having a fun weekend. You know, taking the classes is a plus, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But if you just want to test the waters, you can go and have a great weekend with, you know, tons of people like you said who are interested in needlework. Yeah.
And you don't have to if you just want to go and see the exhibit. I think you can do that. Don't think there's a charge for that. I think it's open to the public.
I believe you're right. Yeah, for both of them, I believe that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I remember that EGA exhibit. If we weren't trying to put shows together, I could have easily spent half a day or more.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. Just taking my time looking at the different pieces. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, people should check that out. Yep. Oh, I was going to ask you, Mercedes Boyer. Uh-huh. She just finished her master needlepoint master program accomplishment.
Yeah.
And she was talking about that. That's a lot. Impressive.
Yeah. And I think that's something new, that new-ish that ANG is doing. And I didn't realize, and I've kind of looked at it. I thought it was something that was a little less intensive than the master certification. So there's Master Needle Artist Program, Master Needlepointer Program, Judging Certification Program, Master Teacher Program, and Needle Arts Appraisal Program. Those are the certifications that ANG has.
Mm-hmm.
So the Master Needle Artist Program, I think, is the newer one.
And that's the one she did, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that it required a basically research.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it does say that one of the requirements is willingness to study, create, and write.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed real demanding. It was, yeah. I don't know how I feel about those things, because to dig into, to accomplish something like that, it, at least in my mind, is huge.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Just from personal gratification to do something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of work, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta really want to. Because usually there's a time limit of some kind. It's usually pretty long, but it's a time limit. And, but yeah, it tests all aspects. Every one of those do. Because I remember when Natalie Dupuy was going through the judging program, the EGA judging program.
Yeah.
Oh boy, she was, she was working hard at that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I think do organizations like ANG and EGA get enough credit for having programs like that that are true tests of your knowledge and skills? I don't know if they do.
I'm going to say probably not. I mean, it's certainly, I consider them our version in this country of the Royal School of Needlework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A certificate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Although, you know, it's a little different. You're not coming into the study as a novice.
Right.
I mean, really, to do any of these certifications, you need to know what you're doing right from the get-go. So maybe it's more of an advanced certificate.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure that, you know, well, let's start with, do EGA and ANG get the recognition they should, period?
Item one. I mean, yeah.
You have to know about the organizations before you know what more they provide than just a magazine and you know, maybe a few classes here and there.
Yeah. 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 Cause if you look at the EGA list of things, and we just got a newsletter today about how some of the new things that they're putting in place.
Yeah.
I mean, they are going to town
with
things that are more than take this class, do this project, read our magazine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what impresses me the most and always has about EGA is, and now even more so, there's just so much more that you get for your membership dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is just go to the website and get involved.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the virtual lectures, FiberTalk 5 gets you a $5 free lecture.
Yeah.
But even those, huge, I mean, those are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them that I've been involved in is just top notch.
Oh yeah.
And you just sit at home and enjoy them, you know?
Right. And the nice thing is that they do record them.
Yep.
So if you miss the live event, you can sign up for the recording.
Yeah.
And watch it at your leisure.
Yep. Yeah. And that's, people just need to be aware of those things. Well, cyber pointers. I mean, you got the appraising your needlework coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, be a member, sign up, participate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Be one of the first 100. But still, it's, you know, just sign up and it's there as part of the membership. I mean, that's.
Right. Now, we are not going to record that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the person that's doing the presentation doesn't want us to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's and she is doing a 2-hour or maybe it's a morning. She is doing the same, a similar presentation at the seminar.
Oh, okay.
A longer version of it.
Hmm.
So this is kind of going to be the overview.
Yeah.
With lots more information provided in and at the at seminar, I think she'll have actual examples of needlework to look at.
Oh my.
And discuss.
Worth it right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I think you make the best point that ANG and EGA don't get enough credit, period,
mm-hmm.
for what they offer. I mean, I'm much more engaged in EGA, and I just think it's impressive what they offer, the breadth of it. If you can't find something that's interesting to you, and because it's all stitching needlework techniques,
right.
You know, you just didn't look hard enough. And mm-hmm. the gallery that they have, that virtual gallery where you, mm-hmm. you know, basically walk through rooms and look at stuff. I mean, it's impressive.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, they don't get credit. Yep. And
mm-hmm.
are they the Royal School of Needlework? Maybe not. Probably not.
Yeah.
But what they have to offer for needleworkers and these days without even leaving your house is a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, both organizations have members at large. Because there's just, you know, not everybody wants to belong to a face-to-face organization where there isn't a chapter where you live.
Yeah.
So you can still take advantage of the things that are offered through the member at large program.
Yep.
Or category. What you miss out there is the programs that a face-to-face chapter would offer.
Yeah.
Which is where I learned how to do all of the different techniques that I do. It's from years of going to EGA meetings.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, both of them work perfect for me because I'm a member at large for EGA and then a member at Cyber Pointers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because I just struggle to get to meetings and mm-hmm. Devote an evening to that. And
It works
better for me that way. And you're right. There's so many people who no longer have a chapter near them. I'm sure there's an ANG chapter here in St. Louis, but because there's two painted canvas needlepoint shops, so I'm sure there is one. But mm-hmm. It just works better for me in terms of being able to benefit from the greater organizations
mm-hmm.
to take advantage of those where you're not a member of a local chapter. So, yeah.
Right, right.
So it works, yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there we go. I don't know that was the bulk of what we wanted to talk about today, but oh well. Not the first time that's happened.
Oh, gosh, no. There's always stuff to talk about.
Yep. All right, that's going to be it. Sunday, Krista West, and next Wednesday on the Stitch Hour, join us, Krista West Live, and we'll get to look at some of her new work. And she's usually in her workroom, so that's fascinating in its own right. So those two coming up, and that's going to be it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.